ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. My guest today is John Bohan, CEO of Social Ties, a social media company with a specialty in influencer marketing. For over 20 years, John has been a disruptor of traditional forms of advertising and has launched several successful companies, including a digital media firm in 1997, a new media events company in 2003, and Social Ties in 2007. John also contributes frequent articles and videos in Forbes, iMedia, Social Media Today, and other publications. John, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
First off, for people who aren't familiar with Social Ties, can you explain the view from 60,000 feet of what your company does?
Yeah, what Social Ties does is we create original content that entertains, inspires, and educates while building raving fans for our brands. What we mean by that is we are big believers in kind of this change we're finding in marketing and communication. You know, we've heard about people being in control of their own media for some time now. And I think I first heard about that back in 1994, right before Netscape was coming out. And so I've been in this field since then, and it's been interesting to see it evolve. And I feel like we're right on the cusp of, I want to say the beginning of this big change. You know, we're taking a look at digital media being $83 billion, I think it's in 2018. And obviously surpassing TV. In each conference that we go to, Gabriella, and we saw this at a recent one, is, you know, there is a big belief in being entertaining, being valuable as a marketer, even making the world a better place. So what we do as a company is we help brands to do that. We help brands to create incredible content that is engaging, it's catchy, it's valuable, it's informative, it's shareable. And at the same time, what's critically important in that is not just creating incredible content. What's critically important is to create incredible content that also sells products. Because if we're not selling product, well, then we're not going to be creating a lot of content. So that area is where we play.
Right. I think I read an article you had written in Forbes where you actually were talking about that simply making content for content's sake is a big mistake. And I thought that was really spot on. So what was your main, I mean, you started several companies before you started Social Ties. What was the thing that really made you want to create this new venture? Was there a particular catalyst that made you think this is white space?
Yeah, the white space is where you want to play. I think it's where I've gravitated towards in my career in terms of where's the white space. You know, what type of amazing experiences can we create that add value to people's lives? And how can advertisers, you know, be the supporter of that? You know, back when I was in cable television working for the Weather Channel, way back when in the early 90s, that's probably one of the first times I got into the development of content and having sponsors back it. I created the New England Skiers forecast for the Weather Channel. It was something that came on three times a day during the winter season. And we got, you know, 12 of the ski resorts behind it, and a major car company supported it. And it was really zeroing in on those, you know, 12 ski resorts that sponsored the program. And so, you know, this space of content creation has been something that I've loved for a long time. I feel a great satisfaction out of creating amazing content that actually provides, you know, value to people. And at the same time, you know, getting advertisers in the middle of all of that and elevating their brands.
Right. Well, your name, Social Ties, implies also that it's very much rooted in the social media space and all the ways in which that's evolving and changing. You have a wonderful infographic on your site. Anybody who wants to have a quick learning and fun view should check out your site and look at the infographic. I thought it was really well done. One of the things that's increasingly talked about in marketing circles is influencers and influencer marketing. Can you talk just a little bit about what you see as the evolution in influencer marketing? Because if we think initially sort of celebrity influencers, but now it's kind of moved into something different, or at least you're specializing in something different. I'd love you to tell us about it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's all about connection, right? I mean, I think that's what brands look to do. It's how are they going to connect with customers? When I look at, or when we look at a socialized connection between a brand and a consumer, we look at it in a similar way as a connection between two people. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you think about that, when do you connect with people and when don't you?
You know,
we all experience it, right?
Right?
I mean, just you can be violent disagreement with people. That certainly happens. There's a lot of conflict, right? But I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about when you're at a conference or you're at a cocktail party or whatever it may be, you either hit it off with people or you don't. And you can feel it right away,
right?
And there's a commonality between people that you connect with. And there's a certain level of interest. And there's a feeling like, okay, this person gets me and I understand them. It's all about understanding. And I think ultimately that's what brands want to do.
Yeah.
They want to be in a place, right, where consumers are saying, how, that's cool. That they really get me. And to date, and I'm saying to date, I'm looking back, you know, of decades of marketing, you know, there's been some of that, but it's been tough because it's been a lot of broadcast out there, right?
Right.
And there's been really amazing creative, right?
Right.
But I think now when you look at marketing in the direction it's going, right? If you look at the way that evolved, and let's just take, you know, the broadcast networks, right? Call it three back in the day. Moving to the cable, right? So all of a sudden we're getting into verticals and as opposed to straight broadcast. And then we go into websites, right? And it's getting even more niche oriented. So there's that ability to really connect even right. more so as brands can really dive into specific content, kind of like magazines, you know, and steroids, if you will.
But I was going to say, it's really, I think it's the conversation. It's the two way that, you know, because although you have the sensation of, while it's nicheified, it's still mass pushed as opposed to, you know, I think where we are now, where there's a real conversation. People want to interact with their brands a bit. No?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, what we're doing here is we're, you know, social, you know, we've gone from just straight websites into social. We're now mimicking everyday life, right? In a digital platform, it's not 100% until we get holograms and all of that.
God
right?
save
Which
us.
Is a whole nother, yeah, a whole nother, you know, think about how that works. But now we're in so many ways mimicking our everyday lives and social. And so brands can figure out, you know, who they are. And I think that they're starting to discover their why, and they need to, in terms right. of who they are when they walk into a room and how do they converse. It's not just this one-way static communication, as you're referring to, Gabriella. It's, right, you're
right.
totally communicating the way that you may in real life as a person at scale and at mass, right, many to many. So where do influencers, come back to your question, where do influencers fall into all of this? They're your friends, right? They're uh-huh. your friends that help to amplify the conversation again, you know, and those are people that need to share the values that you share. They need to think the way that you think as mm-hmm. a brand, and that's where you start to make connection. And then, yes, celebrities, you know, you could look at them as the broadcast networks, if you will, of influencer, moving down to mid-tier, right? Looking down, moving into mid-tier, which we define as people, you know, between 100,000 and 1 million in reach, celebrities over 1 million. And then you go into micro. You were following kind of the broadcast to cable to digital, you know, digital being micro. And I think when you start to get into the micros, you're getting closer and closer to that connection that I was talking about, because there's more of a relationship between that micro influencer and their followers than there is between the followers of, let's say, a celebrity.
So, yeah, I was wondering about that. Is there an inverse relationship between engagement and number of followers? Sort of as your follower count goes up, your engagement level goes down just because it has to. I mean, is that a truism?
Very much so. I mean, it's very clear in the numbers we see. I mean, generally speaking, I can say that our celebs are getting 2% engagement, our mid-tiers are getting 4%, and our micros are getting 8%. Mm. And then you get something what we call minis, which are in the single-digit thousands. I mean, those. We had a recent campaign where we used a bunch of minis, and we actually got 56% engagement.
Holy smokes. That's amazing.
Well, yeah, which was crazy. But if you think about it, it's now your friend, your real
right.
friend.
Right.
Posting something, and oh my God, they're supporting a brand. How cool is that? Let me support my friend. And so that was really cool to see.
So you said a word that I think is interesting, and you talked about a campaign. And I had also read another article where you talked about the thinking long-term versus short-term with regard to influencers. So can you talk a little bit about, if I'm a brand and I'm thinking about working with influencers, how I should be thinking about teaming with them to be as effective as possible?
For sure. I mean, I think the first, I mean, start with the end in mind, right? Stephen Covey, right. I think that was his fifth habit, right? Maybe, no, that wasn't his fifth habit. It wasn't one of the seven, though. Start with the end in mind. The end goal here is to build an army of influencers, getting back to what I was saying earlier, building an army of friends.
Right.
Right. I mean, real friends, right? I'm not talking about fake friends, or they're actually people with strong followings, or not even, they share the same values that you share. Ultimately, where a brand wants to go in a period of time, depends how quickly they want to move, is they've got thousands of people that they can tap into. I mean, I look at influencer marketing as potentially the biggest marketing asset a brand can have. And you think about, and I say asset, because if you build friendships with thousands, call it tens of thousands, maybe, of people, and you can activate that network at any time with a campaign, whatever it may be, and then bang, you've got immediate exposure of your brand to tens of millions, potentially hundreds of millions of people through this channel.
Right.
So that's where I think brands should look and then work backwards.
From a management standpoint, though, because I'm an overworked, harried brand manager, you mean I have to have 1,000 of these people? How do I manage them? Or is that where you come in, that you are my interface and I only have to deal with you and then you deal with them? But then is it authentic, and do they feel a connection to me if I'm not interacting with them personally? How does that work?
Yeah, it's all good questions. There's only so much time. Only so much time in the day, right? Absolutely. That's where companies like Social Tides come in. And this is, you know, the type of thing that we do every day and have robust technology to do this. So mm-hmm. when we build out these big networks for our clients, they're all within our database.
Mm-hmm.
And we can activate them with a simple email, and in some cases a text if it's an immediate turnaround, where it's connection at scale. And so that's how it typically works. You know, through the tech, you can essentially indicate what the creative brief is, what the timing is on it. There's easy ways to get approval or disapproval from the influencers themselves, if sometimes they may not be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a quick activation. And then the content all goes live on the various, you know, social network feeds, and it's pulled into the dashboard. So you can see it all right there. And in the event that the client wants to use some of that content, which is oftentimes the case, they can easily pull it right from the technology into their own social. So the beauty of the technology today is makes these large networks very scalable.
Huh. So apart from size of following and audience and even network of micro influencers, what are some of the other variables in influencer marketing that a brand should be considering when they're that you consider when you're building these armies of influencers?
Yes. Well, two things come to mind right off the bat. Number one is content. Is there content specifically in line with the brand? We have a client that is CPG company. It sells essentially healthy food to parents and kids. Uh-huh. So they're looking for moms that have kids between 3 and 8. And you would think, okay, so any mom with kids between 3 and 8 would be appropriate. I mean, that's one thing to think, but that may be true. But what we really want is moms with kids between 3 and 8 that take pictures of food and have their kids in it. Yeah, when you think about the army, you're going to choose your friends. We get to choose our friends, right? Yeah, we want people that are most like us and are really going to amplify us in a good way, because, you know, there's the more relevant their content is with the brand itself, the more effective it's going to be. So that's one thing, content. The other thing is the followers, which is critical, is, you know, who's following these influencers. And the beauty,
right,
again,
that's really who you're trying to activate, right?
Yeah. So if I look at two influencers, right, and this happens a lot, they look great on the face of it. Using the same example of moms with kids 3 to 8, you can take a look at two different moms. Mm-hmm. And you look at with our tech, you can go in and say, okay, well, who are the exact followers of these moms in social? And you can look at, you know, the age, average age of the followers, you know, how many, whether they're a parent or not, what are their likes, what are they hashtag, you know, what are the biggest things that the followers are doing in social? And so oftentimes one would be spot on in terms of being a mom that is the follower. Other times, and this happens quite often, we'll get like gamers. You know, you see this mom and she happens to be fairly good looking, and next thing you know, they've got a bunch of gamers and they're talking about Xbox and League of Legends and, you know,
not
World of Warcraft and all those things. And it's like, unless you take that extra, you know, you could end up with the wrong influencers.
Right. That's really interesting. I wouldn't have even thought that. But it's great that the tech allows you to filter them that way. One of the things I'm also interested in is how you see, I mean, we're still really at the eve of this kind of, I mean, I guess I'm thinking Instagram influencers, and maybe that's wrong, but certainly Instagram is a newer platform as opposed to YouTube. It's been around longer, but I presume you're working across all the different platforms. How do you see the influencer trend, you know, 5 years from now? What do you think is, if you were to gaze into your crystal ball, what do you think the future looks like for these folks as they age and also as the industry itself ages?
Yeah. So in terms of the platforms that are going to be the most popular, in my opinion, or in terms of how the influencers evolve?
Well, both the platforms and also the influencers themselves. For instance, you have a lot of young women doing a lot of beauty stuff. You know, do they do that as they age, or do they, or, you know, because people age, you can't help it. And so the certain things, you know, the mom with young children, those children start growing up. She maybe goes back, gets a job doing something else or what have you. So life, as these are more often than not real people, life happens. So what do you think will happen to them as influencers, but also how do you see the platforms evolving?
Yeah, it's a great question. I love it. I didn't think about the influencers, but certainly there's, you know, it's not as if you can be a cable network and just, you know, stay ageless and continue
exactly.
to put out content. No, the analogy doesn't work in that case. But I'll only circle back to the influencers in a sec, because that's the harder of the two questions. But the networks themselves, it is not an easy thing to put in the crystal ball either. The darling of influencer marketing right now clearly is Instagram, for a variety of reasons. The organic reach is tremendous.
Right.
It's in many cases far over 50% of the influencer's followers. The views are oftentimes much higher than the followers themselves. So Instagram is just killing it right now. It's just an amazing place to advertise from an influencer perspective, and then putting amplified media behind that to really target that message. The results that we're getting are fantastic. And we run both media, paid media, as well as influencer. And, you know, what we're seeing things in kind of such as video view rates. The video view rates of influencers are twice as high as that of paid media.
Wow.
So we found that when you advertise a video, 22% will watch past 3 seconds.
Mm.
When an influencer is delivering a message, it's actually 43%, which begins to tell you, well, gosh, yeah, well, maybe people are paying a little bit more attention to the influencer than just the straight advertiser. I mean, it's not a big surprise. Think about it as a referral from a friend. Getting back to the cocktail party, if someone says, hey, you know, this is Gabriella, she is the coolest thing since sliced bread. You need to meet her, right?
So, which they do.
Right? So my sorry for the sliced bread cliche, nothing came to mind. But, you know, and immediately my friend of many years is going to be like, okay, let's meet Gabriella versus you going up and say, hey, I'm the coolest thing sliced bread. You want to meet me? Right? So not
just doesn't,
that,
doesn't
right?
do as much for me, true.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, right. So it's 22% versus 43%. That's what we see in the numbers right now. And so there's more attention to whatever the advertiser is mentioning. And I think we've actually seen much more conversion too, all the way down to a store visit. Okay. Anyway, that wasn't answering your question. That means Instagram's on fire. Now, are they going to shrink their algorithm or change their algorithms? Their organic reach tends to shrink. You know, clearly, if you look at Facebook, that's what Facebook has continuously done. You know, Instagram being owned by Facebook, that's probably the direction they're going to move. But I would venture to say that they're not going to move that quickly. There's a lot of competition out there. You know, Instagram obviously is causing a lot of trouble for Snapchat.
Right.
You know, Musical.ly is on the rise. There are tons of amazing programmers right now creating the next great social network. I think we're looking at a very different time right now than we were, let's just say, 3 and 4 and 5 years ago when Facebook began to shrink its algorithm. So I, for one, don't think that it's going to happen at the pace that Facebook did. And if it does, I do believe that consumers are thirsty, consistently thirsty for a new social platform where more of their friends are going to see their content. So we're probably going to see Instagram do a little bit of that anyway, shrink its algorithm or shrink the organic reach, but we're also going to have other options to gravitate toward.
You see other platforms coming because I often think that it tends towards, you know, duopolies that you're going to get I would fear a shrinking of options that Facebook does own Instagram. And they also, it's WhatsApp as well. And that they're just going to start gobbling anybody who competes. But you see that there are you feel that they'll just keep new things will percolate up.
I think so. And I think Facebook is probably going to be buying the ones that are doing really well. If they can't buy them, they'll probably, you know, compete with them really well. I mean, Facebook has proven, unlike Twitter and Yahoo and other, you know, potential Goliaths in the business, Facebook has proven that they're pretty smart and they're figuring the thing out, you know, when things are changing. So I think it's going to continue to be a duopoly in many respects between Facebook and Google, but that doesn't mean that Instagram and Facebook are really the only players. I think that Facebook and Instagram continue to be really strong, but I do think that they're going to be a little more conservative in terms of how they shrink their algorithms because of the competition out there. And I do think that, you know, Facebook's probably going to be acquiring a lot of other social networks as they become, you know, viable.
Right. Well, you know, we have actually used up our time, believe it or not. We have run
all
through all of our questions and our time. And I really appreciate that you gave me so much because I know you have such crazy things going on, crazy busy, such as the life of somebody in the service industry. But I really appreciate that you took your time to speak with me today. I find it really interesting and your thinking around it really insightful. And so thank you so much for talking with me today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I'd like to close by thanking a few important people who helped bring the program to life. First, my friend, Rob Naughton, the amazing voice artist who recorded our open. And of course, thanks to my production team over at Microfame Media. And a big thank you to our guest, John Bohan. And of course, most importantly, all of you, the members of our amazing audience, thank you. I'll be talking to you again next week, right here on Up Next.